Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome to Drinking Bros, kids. We got the New Year Six Bowls happening. As always, we're brought to you by MyBookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles your first deposits all the way up to $1,000. Get off the couch and get into the action today with MyBookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros, doubling that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. We're finally, we're getting close here to real games. Real games that matter. Real games that actually matter.
We got one on right now.
Sure don't.
I don't think any of these games matter.
Sure don't.
How do you figure that the New Year's Six Bowls, aside from the CFP ones, matter?
I am starting to lean that way more and more.
Dude. I mean, life matter.
I think they're cool, but you're the one that's a cunt about it. So
I don't really think they matter, and we'll get to it. But
you're a hater.
It's not that we're just not seeing. Nobody's playing.
Before we get into all this, let's do a couple of house cleaning things.
Yeah.
So first, this dude is buying the Suns for $4 billion.
Oh shit!
They
Who
announced
is it?
It today.
Who is it?
His name is Fuckface McGee. Where is it?
Ah, well, I loved his work when he was at Office Depot.
The fuck? Hold on.
The Suns were purchased $4 billion.
Something Ishbia, Matt Ishbia.
Okay.
He apparently has an intense business rivalry with the guy that owns the Cavaliers, which is interesting.
Gotta love that.
Oh, no shit.
Gotta love personal.
Dan Gilbert?
Well, they're both in the mortgage business.
Yeah, so, but they have like, it's like fucking Jack Donaghy and what's his nuts? Devin, what the fuck's his name?
Sala.
Banks. Devin Banks.
Yeah. By the way.
Will Arnett's character from 30 Rock. It's really funny.
They're both in the mortgage business.
Yeah.
Great time to be in it with Biden administration. You're up to 8% if you're looking to buy now. So have fun with that. And that's if you have perfect credit.
But that's now the standard for an NBA team. It's $4 billion because that's the same thing Ballmer paid for the Clippers.
No, so, Ballmer paid $2.5 billion.
I think with the article I read earlier with inflation, they paid basically the same amount of money.
That would be correct. But let's face it, inflation has really jacked the fuck up since Ballmer bought that team. So, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense for sure.
Well, no, Ballmer was $2 billion, but that was in 2014.
Yeah,
And then Joe Tsai spent $2.35 billion. But the reason that it's interesting is because the NBA wants to expand to two more teams, which means two more people that can throw $4 billion. Our teams, our people, or groups that can throw $4 billion on the table, because that's what the NBA will require. Whatever the max value of a current franchise is.
Sure.
Or whatever to purchase a franchise, that's what they charge for the buy-in or whatever.
Who would get that money, Dan? Like, where would that money go? That's not like they're buying it from someone else.
Well, so the branding, to develop all the branding for the league, the initial purchases of everything, contracts. I mean, it's a big business.
The other part of this is what cities. The only one that I can think of that would be number one would probably be Seattle, simply because even with the Supersonics, they sold out every single home game. And they didn't have issues with fan attendance. It was simply ownership.
Seattle 100% is getting another team.
Okay.
There's rumors about Vegas.
Oh shit, Vegas would be bomb, dude. Damn, that's right.
But then those are the two. Seattle for sure. Vegas is the most likely. I can't.
Vegas, that, you know, that would be worth like $6 billion, dude. If you went to Vegas,
you could never win a championship there.
Why not?
Because half your team would be fucking in jail or out with VD.
I know.
Like, it would just be like, it would just, you can't have anyone play. Like, you would have to have like all ex-BYU players.
You can ball. You can ball with fucking herpes, bro.
Yeah, you can ball with herpes. Rodman did it. Rodman did it. He's right behind me.
He's got like a fucking herpes the size of my head.
He sure does. Sure does.
Anyways, the other interesting thing that happened this afternoon.
Okay.
So Carlos Correa was supposed to get announced today. He signed that huge contract with the Giants.
With the Giants, yeah, 13 years.
The announcement's now been postponed because, according to some inside sources, they found some troubling things in his physical.
Woo, really? Mm-hmm. Man, that would suck for him. That's a shit ton of money.
Just said, all it says is a medical issue was flagged during his physical.
Might be a heart thing then.
Yeah, myocarditis.
Yeah, might be a heart thing.
Seriously.
Or what did Chris Bosh have with his lungs? He had like clots in his lungs?
Yeah. Those are because they usually find something later on.
Did Alonzo Mourning have the same thing? Was it clots, blood clots in his lungs?
I think so.
It was something like that, right? Because he sat out a couple of years and then finally had to retire as well.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, hopefully he's all right. I like Carlos Correa. He's a good player.
Yeah, that would suck, man. we'll see. That's a crazy story.
And like any other case, the deal he signed is subject to the results of the physical, so they may be reworking some different kind of deal. I mean, he signed a 13-year fucking deal taking him out to 41 years old. And if there's any kind of blemish on his physical, that's not happening.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Anyways, on to college football.
Yeah, college football. What do we have on now, Delco? The world famous Idaho Potato Bowl?
Just the famous Idaho Potato
Bowl. Oh, that's right. They took off world. What happened?
People in Idaho don't want to acknowledge that there's countries other than the United States, and I don't blame them.
I guess.
Why would you? It's Idaho, first of all. So Idaho's made up primarily, now there's a lot of LA transplants, but it's mostly wilderness people and militias.
Yeah.
That's what Idaho really is. Right, and potato farmers, I guess.
I think they took off the world because of Ireland's. Ireland's is probably still more famous, right?
Ireland's...
The only potato stuff they've been famous for is not having them.
Yeah.
Yeah, running out.
So that's how good they were, Bob, is that everybody ate them. So, yeah, they're probably one. Idaho is two. Sorry about it. So they probably made them take the name off. I understand that. We'll go back to what you said about not being amped about these two other games here. It's true. And a lot of people have asked me about why haven't I placed any bets and posted them in Drinking Bro Sports for the bowl games. There's too many people out, and I don't trust it. I don't know who to pick in some of these games.
Not in this game. Everyone's playing in this game.
Oh, and what is it? Who are the two teams?
My Eastern Michigan Eagles versus the San Jose State.
They all should be playing. They have nothing to live for.
Well, I'm on them today. Mine for the day.
So he actually bet $200 on this game. No lie. Did you go money line?
Money line.
On Eastern Michigan?
Yeah, they're up 23-13 right now.
Shit. Congratulations. Because it was just cold?
It was 13-0 San Jose State, and then it was like the line was like 13.5, so I live lined it.
The live lines are fun. That's some junky ass shit though. And I love it. But as far as these two games that are outside the college football playoffs, I'll explain why. Like it's the same thing I've been bitching about all year. Essentially, like I want to see the best play in all of this, and they're not. First up is this Tennessee-Clemson game. This is the Orange Bowl. Big deal. Should be. Not anymore. So Jalin Hyatt decided to sit out of this one. He's a first-round pick.
Yeah, Hooker's already out for the year.
Hooker's already out for the year in this one. And is there anybody else, Bob, who is sitting out for Tennessee in this game? Do we know that?
Let me look it up. Let's see. I mean, so with Clemson, I think I have a list right here.
Simpson, the linebacker from Clemson, I don't think is playing.
Okay. Is he going pro?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Murphy.
Miles Murphy's not playing.
Yeah.
Is he going pro?
So their two best defensive players, basically.
Are out.
Yeah.
And then the best offensive player, who's still alive because Hooker's dead, is out in this one. Also, you know, and the spread is -6 for Clemson. Also for Clemson, DJ Ukulele is not only out of this game, he has transferred out of the team permanently. Yeah. So he is gone.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, Clemson's probably going to win this game pretty easily.
That's what I think. I mean, it's Clemson -6 right now. Yeah. And I like Klubnik. He's still great. I don't know what's the backup, because it's Milton who is the backup of Michigan, and he was fucking terrible at Michigan. He'll be playing for Tennessee, but he doesn't have Hyatt there. I don't know where they generate offense from, because I still see Shipley playing in this game, the running back for Clemson. I think Klubnik is their starting quarterback, and he's pretty goddamn good.
Clemson's offense is more or less unaffected.
Right.
Yeah, so they're going to score. Their defense, particularly their pass rush, is affected by those two guys going out. But remember, Clemson's a defensive powerhouse and has been since 2014 or so.
But their two best defenders are out.
Sure, but there's probably two fucking dudes that are going to come up and play those positions that are going to surprise people. I think, and you can, the over-under 63.5, that's pretty fucking high. So
that's what I was looking at. Like, why is it so high with the two best defenders out for Clemson, I guess?
Well, I don't understand why it's so high with Tennessee not having any real offense to speak of that's played together on the same field at the same time.
I don't either.
They trust the Heupel system.
That's not going to get you, man. Far.
I mean, no.
It'll put up points usually.
Against a great defense like Clemson, I don't know if that's the case.
I don't know how many of their guys are playing, though.
Yeah, we'll see.
But, like, here's the other interesting part of this, and I know I always tell you guys this. You can look at the ticket prices to see what the actual interest is in these games. Now, this is the Sugar Bowl. Big deal for years and years and years. Tickets are, on Drinkin' Bros tickets, are $52 right now. Never, ever in the history of the Sugar Bowl have you been able to get tickets for $52
yeah, that's crazy.
To the fucking Sugar Bowl for Tennessee and Clemson, both with great fan bases, and both travel. I've been to Ohio State Clemson games before. Clemson fans travel. They are there. They're polite, by the way, actually, too. I don't mind the Clemson fans. Tennessee, you would figure they would be amped. This is their first fucking Big Six game ever, right? I mean, they won a national championship in 2000 with Leak, but they have never been to any form of playoff or a Big Six game in the history of their program, right? Besides the national championship?
What? No. I mean, they've definitely been in like a Orange Bowl before.
Yeah, they've been in a BCS Bowl or two.
But like, yeah, not while it was branded New Year Six.
Right. That's what I'm saying, right? So like you'd have to go back 20 years, right?
More than that.
Well, 20 years was the national championship. No, I'm sorry, 22 years.
22 years. And then it would have been, I think 97 was the year before that where they were in a major bowl game.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah. So the fact that tickets are this low tells you that even their fans don't really give a shit about this game. And it's very odd.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that the bowl selection committee would take that into consideration. I mean, why is there something wrong with them visiting with the teams and saying, hey, who's going to play and who's not? Give us a no bullshit assessment here. And then make a selection that's based on the talent on the field and not the names of the teams.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's the winner of the ACC, right? And then the highest ranked SEC team, which it would have been LSU, but LSU got bounced properly by Georgia. So Tennessee's left. Tennessee is still at six right now in this poll. So yeah, it's on paper, it is a 6-7 matchup. I don't know where else you would go besides that.
Unless you're trying to sell tickets. So you would think the fan bases would be big enough to sell.
One would think, yeah. I mean, Tennessee and Clemson have great fans. So like it's odd.
So the Orange Bowl is the top team from the ACC champion, or if they're in a BCS Bowl, then the top team after that.
Yep.
Versus the top opponent from either the Big Ten, SEC, or Notre Dame.
Okay.
Depending on the year.
All right.
So, I believe
that's the only game. This is the only game you could make then, because out of the Big Ten, two of the final four are Big Ten teams. So Ohio State and Michigan are playing in the actual playoffs.
I mean, it could have been LSU.
Penn State is not ranked as high as these two teams.
To be honest, LSU probably could have been in this game too, but Tennessee is ranked higher.
They're ranked higher, and they've got two less losses.
But I think LSU's current composition on the field is probably better than the team Tennessee is going to put out there.
Yes. Right? Yeah.
So who knows? I mean, that's what I'm saying. You have a conversation with these motherfuckers about that and see what's up. I mean, even Alabama. Why not Alabama instead of fucking Clemson, Alabama?
Well, but Alabama's in the next one. They're in the Sugar Bowl. I know, so they had to go there.
But a national. Well, who's typically in the Sugar Bowl? Is that typically the? Who?
It's usually the SEC.
It's usually the SEC.
The best. If the Sugar Bowl is not a playoff bowl.
Yep.
It is usually the best SEC team not in the playoffs.
It's the winner of the SEC championship game if they're not in the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
Did Alabama win the SEC championship?
No. They didn't play in it. They didn't even play in it.
But they're the best. They're the best
non-playoff team.
Right.
They're better than Tennessee?
In this current iteration.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. How do you figure that?
So the Sugar Bowl took into account what you were saying where like Hooker's hurt.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
That makes sense then.
And so Alabama's at 5. So basically, Tennessee's at 6.
Clemson's getting a consolation opponent.
Correct.
Wouldn't it have been, I mean, it, look.
I would also.
Alabama's playing Kansas State, and that's going to be, it's listed at -6.5. Alabama's going to win this game by 25 points.
Everybody's playing for Bama.
We'll get to that later. Yeah.
We'll get to that later.
You'll see this show in the new year. I did a Citizen with David Hookstead, who we'll have on here too. He's a young guy that does sports shit for Outkick.
Mm-hmm.
He said some weird shit in the past, but.
Who has
some funny stuff? I think some people criticized it before, but I think he's pretty funny. At any rate, we were talking about that this morning. Imagine going into fucking Saban's office and be like, "Hey, coach, I'm not playing."
You think they just wanted to avoid the conversation?
Yeah, you don't want that smoke. This is a meaningless game, more or less, and probably. The first or second pick and the fifth or sixth pick are both still playing.
Yeah,
you don't see this much anymore.
Mm. Yeah,
I don't think we're giving Kansas State enough credit.
Hang on. So let me ask you this. All right. So that's the next game. You and I both have Clemson in that first game. Just because.
I think at -6, you're still pretty safe.
Same here. I'm going to take it at -6, and plus at that point. There'll be nothing to bet on a Friday night, so I'll definitely gamble on this. Like the junkie me will put money on Clemson. Alabama's up next. Again, this is tough here. This is the fucking Sugar Bowl, all right? 5 versus 9, and tickets are $32. $32 for a Sugar Bowl game with Alabama in it.
There's better things to do in New Orleans than watch Alabama beat the Christ out of Kansas State.
So I would have said the same thing, right? So let's say you're going to New Orleans for New Year's, which is a blast. I love New Orleans. Same thing with, by the way, with the game before, the Orange Bowl. Miami's a blast. Even if you were just in Miami for New Year's with your wife or
there's
friends or whatever.
There's better shit to do than watch this game where the top players aren't playing.
I understand, but if you look at the time of this game, this is an 11 a.m. game. You have nothing to do from 11 to 2 o'clock in the afternoon in New Orleans. And it's a quick walk down to the French Quarter. So, like, why not get fucked up, go see your team play, go see him trounce Kansas State, and then go back and fucking party and go out for New Year's? Like, it doesn't make sense that tickets are $32 for this game. It's Alabama against Kansas State. The line is Alabama -6.5.
Why doesn't it make sense? It's a giant fucking stadium.
For New Orleans?
You're looking at $32 for what? Like nosebleeds?
Yes, $32 for nosebleeds there.
It's a massive stadium.
A massive stadium. And Alabama? Why would they travel for
this? Yeah, Alabama doesn't give a fuck.
That's what I'm saying. No one cares about these games anymore.
Kansas State does.
But Kansas State doesn't have any fans.
If there's one
yes,
school,
they do.
No. They do. And if there's one school that's allowed to not give a fuck about a consolation bowl,
it's Alabama.
It's the best college ball dynasty of all time.
Yeah.
And Kansas State really gives a fuck. There's going to be a giant fan. It's probably going to be 75-25.
The
Kansas
mezzanine
State.
Level is like $400, and the lower level, you can get them for $200. Actually, you can get them for like $100.
For lowers?
For lowers, yeah. God,
but damn. So look,
but there's a lot of seats in this fucking stadium.
There's a lot of seats, and only one of the two teams are going to show out for it.
Yeah. By the way, let's get to the showing out part, because I don't want to hear this crap about underestimating Kansas State.
Why?
Because
they're going to win the game.
Oh, my God.
They are.
Is there a line, an alt line I can take where it's Alabama fucking
yes,
minus
you
15
can. You
or
can.
Something?
Go ahead and look at Alabama's record when they play in games that aren't playoff games.
I don't care.
I don't care either. I don't think Kansas State is very good. With Alabama, my one honest question is, do these guys play one series and then sit out? Like, how is that going to work?
No, they'll play the whole game.
You think Bryce Young is going to, the number one pick in the draft, is going to play the entire game?
He's going to play a lot of it, yeah. I mean, he especially, and if it's showcase at the game. End, the whole game.
So yeah. The only it's reason a showcase game. This is what Saban does when he's not in the playoff. He tries to annihilate teams like this. Yeah. Although they don't always perform that well, but he wants to do it because you want that fucking carryover to the next season. Like he's there. He's one position out of the playoff right now. So if somebody shows up like TCU and gets completely wiped the fuck out, which is probably what's going to happen, he's like, should have been us. Yeah. What are you going to do? You know what I mean? It's the kind of guy.
I can tell you what. Here's the thing. So I can tell you what Joey Bosa did for Ohio State when they were in this game against it was the Fiesta Bowl. Same situation as Alabama's in right now. They had two losses. They were right on the outside getting in. They were at 5, and then they played Notre Dame. Joey Bosa was going first in the draft. Mm-hmm. Do you know what he did opening series? Because he's like, no, I'm going to play. He took his head and headbutted the other fucking player and got ejected on the third play of the game and made sure that he got the fuck out of there and never played again. I don't see any of these starters playing the entire game for Alabama. Therefore, I can't bet on this because I think for Bryce Young, he literally is the number one pick in the draft. Like that, he's going to the Texans, right? I think we can all agree on that.
No.
Who's going one?
I mean, you could make an argument for like probably 10 different people at this point.
But what does Houston really need? A quarterback. And if you're going to fill that stadium and put asses in the seats, it's got to be a quarterback. That's the guy. I think Bryce Young is great.
Right. But there could be like at the combine, somebody goes off and all of a sudden he moves up everybody's draft board.
But the only person I see leapfrogging
people really like
Bryce
Levis.
Young. But the only person I see, I like Levis. I think he's built like a big quarterback. Whether or not he ends up being great, we'll see. He had no help at Kentucky. But the only other person I see leapfrogging Bryce Young, ironically, is Will Anderson, who's in this game as well. And if I'm him, I don't fucking play this game either.
Well, they're going to. A note on Saban's teams getting worked in non-playoff games or whatever, like bowl games that are what consolation bowls. That was true. And that happened in 2014 against Oklahoma and a couple times before that. However, this is his second bowl game. Like, that was 8 years ago at this point. The last time he played, Saban team played in a non-playoff bowl was 2020. So for the 2019 season.
Mm-hmm.
And they beat the shit out of Michigan.
Well, everybody did.
I'm just saying. Yeah. So it's old intel, I guess, to say.
Yeah.
Like Saban's teams get worked in non-game because that.
So
like,
are both of you guys taking Kansas State?
I'm Bama all the way.
Yeah. You're taking Kansas State.
I think I would take Kansas State with the points, and I would actually sprinkle the money line because I think the defense is really good. They have a really good coach in Klieman, and I'm really looking at Will Howard to win the Heisman next year.
For
Kansas State, the quarterback for Kansas State,
the guy that threw 15 touchdowns this year, and
he didn't start the entire season.
Okay, I don't see that happening. They don't get enough press. They're just kind of buried out.
I mean, if they fucking stay top 10 next year, they'll get press because it's a big deal.
TCU. I mean, look at that. They got fucking dicked on all year. So
and they got in the playoff and lost to Kansas State in the championship game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's it kind of proves the point. But
proves the point that they can stay around.
Who?
Kansas State next year?
I don't think so.
Maybe. I mean, if they get blown up by Alabama in this game and TCU gets blown up in their fucking bowl game and their CFP game, people are just going to be like, oh, they didn't belong here in the first
Texas
place.
Has a huge recruiting class next year. Oklahoma does. Like,
Texas
what
is
year
never,
did you say yeah. that in?
Every single year forever.
Either
and
way.
Texas will never be good.
Either way. Kansas State, what have they ever won? Ever? What is that? Actually,
they're a pretty good program. They're upper middle class.
Let's start with this. How many games in college football playoff history has the Big 12 won?
There hasn't been that many like college football playoff games to begin with.
Sure, but 9 years. We've got 9 years worth of them. How mm-hmm. many have they won?
That's 18 or 27 games?
Yep. How many have they won?
Probably none.
Zero.
Mm-hmm.
Zero games. How so about the Pac-12?
Blame that on Lincoln Riley. Lincoln Riley doesn't show up.
Sorry. I can't because he took another fucking team to one game away again. Lincoln Riley's a great coach.
No, yeah. He's not.
He's not.
All right.
Wait, are you literally sitting here and saying they suck ass if they can't win a college football playoff game and then calling a guy who gets butt fucked in college football playoff games a great coach? He's never won. How many college football games has he won in the playoff?
He's what's left is the problem. He's what's left and he's right there. And he took a team that he just went to all the way this close. They were this close. They were one quarterback injury away from not making the playoffs with a completely brand new team. That is very, very hard to do.
That was a lot of words to say they didn't make the playoff.
He was. You're saying if Caleb Williams.
Almost.
If Caleb Williams. Well, I mean, that's what you're saying about Kansas State. And they fucking suck.
About Kansas State.
They fucking suck. No, they've won nothing. They've never won a playoff game.
But they're in the Midwest. Like, it's a really hard recruiting sell.
Tough shit.
The fact that they're just like.
Nebraska won in the 90s.
Caleb Williams got hurt.
Nebraska won in the 90s.
It's a totally different game.
When has Kansas State won a championship?
Back in like the 90s.
Where?
They were the Bill Snyder year.
What year did they win?
Was it 99, 98, one of those years?
Yeah, hold on.
No, they lost the national championship.
They sure did. They sure did.
Dude, you were literally dancing between you have to win something to matter and then blowing Lincoln Riley for almost kind of getting to it.
Not blowing Lincoln Riley to get outside right there. You're down to like five coaches who are any good in college football.
Cool. So if That's you only it. Pay attention to five fucking teams.
I do.
Why do you care about the sport?
I
you're
do.
You're the biggest fucking hater here.
Not at all.
Lincoln Riley.
I like great football. I have a life. I have kids and a wife. I don't have time to watch anything outside of fucking. I don't have time to watch mediocrity like you do.
You watch two teams then.
And you're right. That's all I watch.
If you watch all Lincoln
of
Riley.
My hard drive is for 10 teams.
This is
if
all,
I didn't gamble on any of this shit, I wouldn't watch it.
This is all bullshit. If there was a game on tonight and you got even a little bit bored, you would go gamble on it and watch that whole goddamn game.
And if it weren't for gambling, I wouldn't watch it. Gambling has literally saved college football. It has saved the NFL. It has saved all of sports.
But gambling exists, so all the points you're making are moot.
Gambling has existed for 3 years, guys.
Except for
it's
the
existed
fact that
forever.
3 years.
Forever.
3 years.
Kansas State
legally,
sucks. I think
where I can bet on my phone, it has
here.
Existed for 3 years.
It's not legal here.
It sure is on mybookie.com. Promo code DRINKITBROS will double your first deposit up to $1,000. It's where I bet is on my phone. That's it.
Legal and not illegal are kind of two different things.
Sure. But if people cared about this game, tickets wouldn't be $32 fucking. If all of the millions of Kansas State
just
fans.
Simply not true.
Sure.
It's the playoffs are the only thing that are going to be like expensive in college football.
Well, we'll see next year, right? When there's more teams in the playoff and this game will mean something, right? We'll see if it's still. Cause
it's not
still,
next year. It's going to be in the future.
Or two years.
Yeah.
2 years.
Whenever it is. They're still going to have the games. There's still going to be at least one bowl game in Miami. There'll be a fucking, there'll be a bowl game probably in Atlanta too, right?
Yeah.
And then there'll be one in New Orleans and wherever the fuck else they have them in, at the Rose Bowl. So we'll know next year because there's big ass stadiums that don't usually get fans like that.
100%. 100%. And that's where I guess
also,
you'll know.
Ticket prices with the expanded playoff, who even knows what's going to happen? Because how many games can you reasonably expect those people to travel to?
And dish out that kind of money.
Yeah.
It'll bleed them till the fans have no more money left.
I mean, there's going to be pressure to keep those, like, to seed those regionally, you'd think, so people can travel to them.
It's got to be home games. Because other than that, like, if you can't get people to travel. Tennessee hasn't been good for 22 years.
Yeah, that's a good point.
If you can't get them to travel to the fucking, to Miami.
If there's three or four, I guess, some teams are going to have buys, but there's going to technically be four rounds of playoffs when it starts, right?
Yeah.
Some of them are going to have to be home
games.
But
Tennessee was just going to be on campus.
And Tennessee was just hype all year, and then obviously the end of the season was a giant queef, so they're obviously disappointed and not super hyped to go to the fucking
expectations is exactly what I was about to talk about, because like before there was this BCS championship to get into, all the bowls mattered. Like you could only get put in whatever bowl you could get put in depending upon what conference you were in, so it was good. Everyone cared about all of them, and they didn't want to have a BCS bowl because they thought it would make all the other bowls worthless, which it has.
Also,
it has.
The first round of the playoff and the 12-team extended playoff will be home games for the
It is exactly like Giorgio said. It has made all these games worthless.
It's going to have to be the first two rounds, right? They're not going to have on-site bowl or like neutral site bowl games for three consecutive weeks.
It should be the first two rounds. Like it really should be maybe the final four is... Yeah. But like,
yeah, so those games will be home games for whoever's the higher seed.
But right. But the other part about this is then what do you do for the teams that are top four, right? They're still going to get a bye. They've been off for 35 days. Mm-hmm. I would rather play 3 weeks in a row than the last 2 weeks. Well,
I don't know if it's going to work that way. I think instead of having the long pause between the final game of the season and the first bowl game, I think the first bowl games are going to come quicker. Probably, right?
Then you're going to have to eliminate the rest of these games.
No, you're not. Why?
How would you play around them, I guess?
You're not going to have to play around them. Just like the last 2 weeks, there's been minimal football. Some of these meaningful games are going to happen in this mid-period.
Okay.
Like the week after the conference championships, probably. You would think for the, like...
Exactly.
You're not going to have... If it's... What is it, an 18 playoff?
No, 12. 12?
So 12. It's 12 teams. You're going to have six... Somewhere, depending on how things fall, you'll have probably... Yeah, seven non-conference winners in there. Maybe
I hope
unless
not.
unless you have yeah. Well, I mean,
you should send all the yeah. P5 conference winners.
Like not every G5 conference winner is going to make it to the top 12.
It's the top G5 team.
So you're gonna have six non-conference winners there
from the P5
P5,
or potentially five if there's two really good. Non-conference, yeah, maybe G5
but
teams.
Either way, the other G5 team, maybe there'll be a conference winner, maybe not. You know,
yeah. Knows? So I mean, there's certainly a world in which, like, I don't know, Boise State and BYU could be really fucking good in the same year.
So there's going to be like the week after the conference championships. That's when the first round of the playoffs are going to have to start. Actually, I fucking love that.
Well, looking at it, number 12,
that would be this week, right?
Yes.
Like the CFP would technically start this weekend, and then it would be next weekend would be the second round.
And looking at this, number 12 here is Washington. Are you amped about that? I mean, right
the
now
the only thing I like about it is the any given Sunday thing, because there are going to be upsets, like the same way that the fucking 5-12 upset that happens in the fucking basketball tournament every year. There's going to be some variety of that,
and
in
it'll
this
feel
tournament.
So much better in college football,
and then
it'll
feel start
so wild.
It'll build a weird mystique, like, oh no, you're the fucking 3-6 man or whatever the fuck it is, like,
right.
Yeah, man, you guys better be careful or whatever the fuck.
But here's the weird thing about it. So take this 12 team with Washington. They're playing Texas, right? Texas is without Bijan Robinson. That was announced and all this stuff. I'm on current odds in my bookie, by the way. Texas is still favored by 4. And that's an 8-4 Texas team over Washington, who would be the 12th seed. Without their best player.
Yeah, but here's what usually happens. Like every North Carolina last year, they came in as what, an 8 seed?
Yes.
In the basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're an 8 seed.
Yeah, so... They made it pretty far because that was a good team that happened to have some problems. And it happens in the NFL all the time, too. It happens in baseball as well. Like a team like the fucking Phillies or Braves, who struggled at some point during the year for one reason or another, who came back and won their division at the end or made the playoffs at the end, now they're a fucking threat. It's going to happen in college football, too.
Also, I don't remember where I heard it, but most dogs in college football bowl games outright win the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, I mean, you got to decide who actually cares in this game.
But don't you also think that the committee is going to choose the rankings differently, knowing that there's a 12-team playoff than they do now? I doubt they put a whole lot of thought into the 5 through fucking 12 right now.
Probably not.
I mean, it is what it is. They probably just stick straight with the numbers and don't think about anything else.
Yeah, but going back to this Alabama-Kansas State game, I simply can't bet it because – I don't know if these starters will play the whole game.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
I sure wouldn't.
What if they do and they lose still?
If Alabama's all of Alabama's best players play, then they would stomp Kansas State.
They're just not that good this year.
Who?
Alabama.
Alabama, their worst. Because, look, the knock on them this year is they didn't have any receivers, right?
They have no weapons.
They have no weapons, correct, right? Their running back is a superstar. Their quarterback's a superstar. Their defense is still pretty decent. I still think they roll Kansas State. I watched them play in that TCU game. I like the Deuce Vaughn kid. I think he's very good. The rest of that team is just kind of trash to me. I'm not a big fan of the quarterback, and I don't know how they win this game. I mean, their top receiver's only got 47 receptions. So it's like he's got two TDs.
Now, you're going to have to repeat to me Michigan's wide receiver stats.
Well, they don't throw the ball.
Yeah,
by the way,
what? We'll interesting.
We'll Check get it to out. That. We'll get to that.
Neither does Kansas State that much.
Do you want to compare the running back core from Michigan to Kansas State?
Yeah, really? And who's is in the playoffs? Is Kansas State in the playoffs
right now?
Well, they would be in the if it was a 12-team playoff because they won the conference.
Also, right now,
I mean, that's a dream. That's 2 years away.
Well, that's reality.
K-State has the best running back.
It's like saying a prisoner is getting out in 2 years.
Between Michigan and Kansas State, K-State has the best healthy running back right now.
Mm-hmm.
Who?
Deuce Vaughn.
Absolutely not. I would take Edwards over Vaughn in 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. 10 seconds. The last two games, 450 yards for Edwards. I mean, it's fucking gnarly, dude.
Deuce Vaughn's going to be like a legit player in the NFL.
Deuce Vaughn is 5'6", 176 pounds.
Right. He's going to be exactly what Darren Sproles was.
Or even, what's his nuts? Fuck. From that went to play for Tampa Bay back in the day.
I think you're thinking of Jacksonville, Maurice Jones-Drew.
No. Like way back in the day. Fuck's his name. God damn it.
Warrick Dunn,
yeah. He was a teensy little fella.
Yeah, he was a dainty little man. 5'6", though. I don't know. Yeah,
they can't also, find him. That's the whole appeal, though. Also, like, you can't find him behind the offensive line. He sneaks through because nobody can see where he is.
We only have one example in the history of the NFL. Maybe he's the guy. Who knows? Maybe
he went to Kansas State.
Who did?
Darren Sproles.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So maybe they have found the magic formula with 5'6" running backs, and maybe those are the two that make it.
Actually, I mean, in terms of college, 5'6" running backs are fucking awesome.
Yeah, for sure. In
college-wise, it's just not translating to the pros. But
I'm looking at their schedule right now.
Frank Gore's 5'9".
Kansas State didn't play a single good defense all season.
Yeah, who was the best defense Kansas State played this year?
TCU, probably.
TCU, Missouri, and...
Missouri, they beat 40-12. So how good was Missouri's defense in that game?
Missouri turned the ball over within our own 30-yard line like four times.
I guess at...
So,
also, same Missouri that gave Georgia their best game.
They played at Iowa State, and he had 10 carries for 23 yards.
Yeah, but he also got... I mean, he had 170 against Tech, 158 against Oklahoma State.
Yeah, that's Big 10 football, or Big 12 football. They don't play defense there.
They don't play defense.
Alabama
that's
plays
also
defense.
That's an old rhetoric, too.
Oh, that's man. Nuts. Come on. Look at the scores we're looking at right here.
Big 12 has never won a playoff game. Ever.
that's not relevant to this
that
conversation.
That isn't because, like, the Big 10 is what? Just Ohio State winning once or twice?
But all these teams are top heavy. Even the SEC is top heavy. Like, that's what it is. That's what the big conferences are. They're all top heavy.
SEC is deep as fuck, man.
And not this year.
Yeah, this year.
Who?
Still this year.
Georgia.
Every year.
Georgia's good. Who else was good this year? You just said Tennessee was dog shit and that they were overhyped. You said
that.
Alabama had no weapons.
Who said Tennessee was dog shit?
Bob did.
Hooker got hurt.
Bob did. Bob said that they were all hype this year. You just said that 10 minutes ago.
No, I didn't at all. Words never left my mouth.
No.
Somebody said Tennessee was all hype.
No,
and
he said
Tennessee
was a hype train.
Oh, I'm sorry. So what was the hype train? What would you want to clarify what that meant?
We said the hype train because they were undefeated, and then that the crowd and their fan base was excited for the season.
They were a good goddamn team this year.
And then it was a queef at the end of the season, so obviously they're clearly disappointed, so they don't really want to shell out.
But Florida had a down year. Exactly.
I'm asking you, are they a good team or not this year? Was Tennessee a good team?
LSU.
They four losses. They got absolutely fucking murdered.
By Georgia.
They lost four other fucking games, man. I mean, it was
in the SEC.
Florida
and
lost
the Florida
seven
State.
Games this year.
Okay, Florida wasn't good this
year. It was a down year for the SEC. It's okay to say it.
Florida still beat Utah.
It's okay to say it. I know, because Utah wasn't very good.
The SEC was...
Are you really going to make me defend the SEC right now?
The best conference? The best conference in college football this year by a fucking mile. Do you know how bad the Big Ten was this year? How embarrassing the Big Ten was this year.
That's every year.
Do you know how many playoff teams are from the Big Ten this year?
Good Lord. All right, great, dude. The rest of that conference
sucks. You picked Michigan to win the national championship.
And I stand by that. The conference still fucking sucks.
It sucks,
though.
And Michigan played nobody in non-conference. And the fact that they're there is just because the rest of college football just beat up on each other.
Okay. But for Bob picking Michigan over Georgia in the national championship, what would you like to say to Bob then for that pick?
That is I like that pick. I make that pick because I like the style, because Georgia specifically is vulnerable to that style of play this year. They've shown it in every game they've played a team like that.
Their run defense is allowing 1.9 yards per carry. That's all Michigan does is run the ball. How does that style match up?
Because they have the same. When they play teams similar to them, they do not perform well. And this is a team that is similar to them and a team that is more talented than the other similar teams they've played.
But you still have Michigan winning the national championship, right?
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Okay, so then the Big Ten would be the best division in football, correct?
No, we're talking depth. We're talking just general conference top to bottom.
Yeah, like if you took the entire SEC and played 10 games with random teams against any other conference, they would win 8 out of those 10 games.
Look, I'm looking at the rankings, guys. We got Penn State, we got Ohio State, and we got Michigan. The SEC doesn't have that many teams up there.
Well,
I'm sorry.
You guys played, the rest of your conference is just so bad.
Bob picked them to win the national championship. So they must be pretty goddamn good if they're going to beat Georgia.
I picked Ohio State to win the national championship. Doesn't mean anything.
Both of you guys pick Big Ten teams to win the national championship.
No one's saying Michigan and Ohio State are bad. We're saying the other 12 teams in the conference are fucking dog shit.
Penn State is 8.
They're not good, and they're going to get so exposed.
They've lost twice.
They're going to get exposed.
Yeah, Penn State is not very solid.
To Michigan and Ohio State.
Penn State will probably be good next year, but this year they're not great.
It's a down year for the SEC, and it's fine to admit it, dude. I mean, going through the rankings here.
It's just like if you lose 4 games in the SEC that are really close and hard fought games, but like you lose 2 games in the Big Ten, it doesn't like, there's no, like, I don't know, you can't like compare the two.
But you said all year how deep the Big 12 is.
There's literally not a single Big Ten team ranked after Penn State.
No,
it's bad.
That's what I'm saying.
You have 3 ranked teams.
Yes, but so they're like all, it's all top more, heavy.
Yeah, but if Penn State lost anybody else, it would be
the SEC has atrocious. 6 ranked teams.
There are more SEC teams in the top 10 than there are Big 10 teams in the rankings at all.
The Pac-12 and SEC both have 6 ranked teams.
Sure. Look, guys, so I can only go by the playoffs, all right?
Much tougher schedule. So, yeah, they beat up on each other. They don't get into the playoff. It's that simple.
Okay. Because
you guys have an easier road to the playoff. Every year, you have a fucking cakewalk to the playoff.
Well, look, I'm looking at LSU. They weren't a very good team.
Not anymore, though, right? Because this is the interesting wrinkle about the 12 team playoff is that teams like Alabama, who usually have a squishy schedule outside the SEC, and then Big Ten teams are going to have to play towards the end of the season. You're going to have to play some meaningful games,
mm-hmm.
right? Which I don't necessarily, and Clemson as well, by the way, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing for those programs. The reason Clemson gets, they won one title, but they should have won 2, if not 3, to be honest. And the reason they didn't win more is because they fucking showed up to the CFP and played a real football team for the first time all season, mm-hmm. every single
year.
And
you should be rewarded for taking those like non-conference games, like Ohio State did this year, first game of the season against Notre Dame. That should be rewarded.
Yeah,
for,
and you open up against Oregon again next year, don't you?
Oregon was the last 2 years. Alabama's the next 2, and then Texas is the 2 after that. But
Michigan opened up with like Hawaii.
Yeah.
But besides that, once you move to a 12-team playoff, right, do you even play in your championship games, or do you sit the kids knowing that you got 12 teams?
It's an auto bid.
But why play the extra game if you don't have to?
Yeah, I mean, if you're already ranked that high, it's about seeding at that point.
Yeah.
Right? So who knows? You want that. You definitely
want the bye?
You want the bye, or you want the fucking home field advantage.
Take Georgia this year. They finished at 1. Even if they lost, they still would have been in the top 4. Do you play any of your players in the SEC
Championship?
Conference
championships matter. Yes. A date in a rafter. You get your name in the history books. Conference championships effing matter.
They don't matter to you because A, you're a Braves fan, and B, you're an Ohio State fan. Yeah. So like it's just like expected every year.
Yeah, but if you look at it just from an injury standpoint, why risk it if you're Georgia?
I play the games at all then.
Are basketball conference championships that big of a deal?
ACC titles are a big deal.
Yeah.
Other than the ACC,
also an auto bid.
No, Big Ten. Big Ten basketball.
Yeah, but
titles
if you're even in the game, right, you're already in the tournament.
It depends because some teams have to win the tournament to get in at all.
Not one P5 team in a fucking conference championship.
No.
Well, unless somebody goes on a miracle run.
And the Big Ten hasn't won a national championship in basketball since Michigan State in 2001. So, like, Big Ten championships really mean a lot.
And Izzo's still walking around with a lot of street cred, and that team hasn't been good in a fucking long time, man.
Yeah.
Like, I like Tom Izzo.
He always brings them to the Final Four, and they don't get the most talented guys up there.
They got Draymond Green. What else do you need?
That was fucking 90 years ago. I mean, he's old as shit. But yeah, I mean, just looking at these teams here that are up against it, it just doesn't feel like they care. The fans care. Nobody cares for this.
Well, yeah, but next year these
maybe
are,
in
are
2
they,
years
I guess
they will.
The year after yeah, yeah these games are actually meaningful then
maybe in 2 years yeah.
I don't know what that's going to look like, to be honest.
Every program in the country from Alabama and Ohio State all the way down to fucking Hawaii, if they even have one, they hang banners for conference championships.
Oh, yeah, in football for sure.
Conference championships matter.
But
well, I think, but take the Big Ten. That was just invented 5 years ago.
Yeah,
that wasn't that was a new thing to only get into the playoffs.
And it's all in the same with the ACC, by the way. And it's a football thing, but the analog in basketball, most people don't give a fuck about conference champ, or it's fans don't talk about it. You're not going to hear a Texas fan be like, "Oh, we won the fucking Big 12 conference championship in basketball." You either win the tournament or you don't, right? So I wonder if the 12-team playoff is going to change that for football. I don't think it will.
You don't even have to win the championship in basketball. You just got to make the Final Four.
That's what I'm saying, dude.
That's what I'm saying. And that's kind of how I feel about
Mizzou
this.
Brags about an Elite Eight bid.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. But Sweet 16. It's relative. But nobody is walking around talking about being the fucking conference champ, because even if you win the conference championship and you don't go to the Final Four at least, then it's like you're a conference champ that didn't go to the Final Four.
Basketball's the only sport like that, though, I think.
Tell that to Coach K. I'm pretty sure he has a lot of missed opportunities in ACC.
Sure, but he's the fucking. First of all, that's the ACC, which is the best basketball conference, and secondly, he's the Saban of basketball. He's a fucking lunatic.
Yeah, yeah.
But I wonder if there being a 12-team playoff now is going to change what people value.
That's what I wonder too.
I don't know the answer to it, because I don't know the answer to any of these things. How they decide which games to play and which not, and how much.
Well, the general population doesn't live where Ross lives, where it's playoff or bust every year.
It's not that, but even you guys said it earlier, where it's just like, is there even four great teams this year?
No.
There never is. But the other part of that is that the top talent on every single one of these teams is going somewhere else relatively soon.
And that also doesn't have to ruin football. Like, I can still enjoy, if we reach, I don't know, a New Year's Six Bowl. Or we win our conference. Like, to us, the general population, the people that aren't going to these big programs, which is 99% of the people that watch college football, are going to appreciate, I don't know, just like
an eight-win season.
Also, the back half of this playoff, Ohio State and TCU, aren't good enough to not get jumped up and bit. You know what I mean?
Look, to me, in all honesty, you could have gone back to the regular rules this year, and Georgia was undefeated, Michigan was undefeated, and then the two of them play.
Yeah, but to your guy's point at the desk, how do you keep the players in the game? Even in a 12-team playoff, if you're a borderline 12-ranked team and you're getting into the playoff, but you're about to get drafted first overall, how do you convince that kid to play?
Yeah, you couldn't even convince a kid from Ohio State to fucking play in the playoffs.
Well, he hasn't played all year.
Still, he's healthy. Todd McShay said he's healthy. He said all the NFL scouts know he's healthy. Everybody knows.
Well, hopefully he's just uniquely a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it's happened before. There's other New Year's Six games that are happening without the
superstars.
This is the first time, though, a guy sat out of the playoffs.
Sure, but, do you think that these top players from Clemson and Tennessee would have continued playing if they were in the... If there was a 12-team playoff?
100%. Especially Tennessee.
And definitely Clemson, too, with Dabo and, that weird situation.
Who's
and
ranked 12th right now?
Washington.
Washington. So you think Washington's...
Phoenix would have played, yeah.
I don't know, man.
There's more money coming into college, yes.
Yeah, give it a few more years. He wants to go fucking play professional football and sign a big contract somewhere and play in the NFL. He doesn't happen if he gets hurt in a meaningless game, and Washington isn't beating the number one seed.
They wouldn't.
I know, because of the bye.
But it would be the next round.
But the next round they would, and then there's no fucking way. So what do you do? You're adding each one of those instances from a statistic standpoint is more likelihood that your career's over and you never get paid.
But athletes at that level, a lot of them don't think that way. They think they can beat.
Yes, they think they can be the one that knocks off the number one seed. But then what does that do for Washington's program as far as bringing money in the future? Like, the better that they do, the more money they can pay the people behind them and then build
them up. But not
the
kids. They can't pay the kids. Right. And that's the problem. These universities have been making billions of dollars off of these kids, basically slave labor for 100 years.
Yeah.
The kids can go make their own money outside the program. Yeah.
The program can facilitate making that money.
Yeah, but the top guy NIL wise was Bryce Young, and he made $4 million this year. And rightfully so. He's the best quarterback in the country. Mm-hmm. He's probably going to go number one. But besides Bryce Young,
What you can do? It's a long-term investment, too, with the school, because guess who makes his entire living now just being a UT mascot, essentially? It's Vince Young.
Mm.
He was rookie of the year in the NFL, and then he just kind of fell out and was kind of a bit of a bust, but every time he's in Austin, he can just sling his name and just be I'm Vince Young.
But they try to convince you that when you go on these recruiting trips, but will it stick? I don't know.
Because it's a better product. Like, college football is a better product than the NFL, and the more money you add to it, the more drama we add to it, and the more entertaining and fun it gets.
Yeah, but it's not a better product for the individual participating in it if the end result for them is money. If they're trying to get paid, if they're trying to maximize their value as a top-level athlete, they don't give a fuck about prestige at a university. Why would they?
Well, if it's about money, too, you're thinking long term. You're thinking 20 years, 30 years, you go back to town, you open up a restaurant with your name on it.
These kids aren't thinking that, dude. They're thinking about their fucking signing bonus and trying to get at least two contracts, their rookie and a follow-up contract in the NFL.
Yes.
That's all they care about. Yep. And you're not going to convince, like, Saban has done it somehow, but he is the outlier in every way that a coach or anybody in any performance can be an outlier.
But he's also the greatest college football coach of all time. So
I don't think Michigan and Ohio State and Clemson and Georgia and LSU and Alabama and these teams are going to have trouble with this at all. I'm worried about the teams like ranked 8 through 12. How do you get that? Like, how do you make that last 33% of the tournament interesting? I think it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be problems.
You need upsets.
There should be some early ones. Like it should be.
But it depends on who plays. Like, if Hooker was healthy at a 6, would he play?
Yeah,
maybe because it's Tennessee.
And a 12 team not guaranteed
in
to
a
be 12 like a top
tournament,
pick.
Yeah. In a 12 team tournament.
He would have to, it's a showcase game for him because he's not going to be like a top pick in the NFL.
We'll find out. I mean, I personally, I don't think more competition is better. Financially, it is. Gambling wise, it is. And obviously, I've said this a million times on the show. If it weren't for gambling, I wouldn't be watching it. Yes, from a financial standpoint, it makes sense. Whether or not these kids will think that, I'm with Dan. Mm. I don't necessarily think they will. I mean, there's just so much money on that first contract.
Maybe. I mean, look, it's an open market now, and the university does has some influence on the NIL money. So they're going to have to fucking leverage that in some way. Because, look, you leverage that, and the kids get some kind of profit share or something from the bowl games.
Yeah.
That would keep people around, I think.
I think so, too. Something's going to have to change, though, in order for this to continue. Mm-hmm. And at least keep the best talent there. We'll get to the actual college football playoff games now. TCU against Michigan is up first. That is the 4 o'clock game, Eastern Standard Time. Michigan is -7.5 in this one. The over-under is 58.5. Who you got, D'Anthony?
I'll take Michigan at 7.5.
Okay. Man, this has been a tough one for me all day because I knew we were doing this show. I'm going to take TCU, but I think Michigan wins. I think it's that half point that gets me. I think Michigan wins by a touchdown. That half point fucking gets me in this, and I think they'll keep it close. The only thing that Michigan has not been up against this year is a running quarterback, and it's difficult when you're not used to it. Duggan has one of those fucking personalities, man. Well, he can put the team on his back. I think he'll keep this game close. Michigan has a really fucking good defense, and ultimately I think they win. It's that half a point that has bothered me all fucking day. I don't even give a shit that Corum's out. I think Edwards is a better running back, and I think they're fine there. Obviously, the quarterback's been the same, and then nothing else has really changed for Michigan. All those guys who were out are going to be healthy for this game, including Shoemaker there. That tight end for Michigan, who I fucking hate because he's really goddamn good. But I will take TCU plus the points, but I think Michigan does win, and I think it's going to be by a half a point. And this game will probably be pretty entertaining because if Duggan will be able to run around and try to figure it out.
TCU also has the best receiver in college football in Quentin Johnson.
How's his health, by the way? Is he okay?
I don't know.
Okay. Because in the last game we saw, he went down for a spell, came out of the game, and then went back in. Mm. I don't know what the extent of that injury was. Was he hurt for a majority of the season here? He's only got 53 receptions.
He's been in and out. Okay. Yeah, he's kind of been dinged up.
What's his health? What was the problem with him?
I mean, he had a lot of things, but he had an entire month to get ready for this game. He should be all right.
Okay, so he's good to go in this one, yeah.
And he's going
to
be...
If he's good to go in this one, yeah.
He says he's feeling 85 to 90% healthy right now, and that he'll feel 100% by the Fiesta Bowl.
That's a stupid thing to
say. Well, that's what every kid says.
Random fucking numbers that don't mean
anything. The kid from Ohio State, yeah.
But yeah, he's going to be the first... Right as it stands right now, he'll be the first receiver taken in the NFL draft, so he's got something to play for here.
He definitely does. And so does Duggan entered, by the way. way. So Duggan entered yesterday, so he's got something to play for, and this is a massive, massive showcase game against the second-best defense in the nation here. So if these guys show out, their draft stock goes way the fuck up, and I understand it.
But Michigan's defense, if Edwards plays his normal game, it's going to be hard for TCU because Michigan will be able to control that clock pretty well.
Yes.
I just don't. I don't see how they can fucking even stay close in this game.
Now, if Corum was playing, I would have taken this past the spread all day long because Corum and Edwards together are fucking disgusting. But since sources are saying he is out, I wish the Ohio State kid would have done the same and not fucking said anything just so you can game plan for it. If Corum was playing, though, I said they would have beat this 7.5 without him out there. Edwards will be tired, and I think this game is close. And this is probably a pretty fun game, to be honest with you, because Michigan has not faced a running quarterback yet. Next up is the 8 o'clock game, the Ohio State University against Georgia. This line has been all over the place. They took it off the board for a week. It is back on. It came back on at 7. It is now dropped down to -6.5 for UGA. There is a lot of people betting on Ohio State. I've read every article I could on this to try to figure out why. Same situation with the backup running back for Ohio State, Mayan Williams. Identical to what Johnson said, the wide receiver at a TCU. He said he's at about 85 to 90, and he should be 100% by the game. I don't know if either of those statements is true out of kids, because they want to fucking play.
Yeah.
He even tried to play in the Michigan game and then ended up in a walking boot two plays later, so... Who fucking knows? If that Dallin Hayden kid or Hayden plays for Ohio State, I'd like to see what he can do, but you're up against the fucking greatest defense there is. The one thing that a lot of analysts have said, and there's a couple guys from ESPN that picked Ohio State in this one, is the secondary for Georgia. Yes, they can be exposed. Ringo's great. He will probably be on, and he's a first rounder. He'll be on Marvin Harrison Jr. Egbuka is still over 1,000 yards. Ohio State's the only team in college football with two 1,000-yard receivers here. I think Ohio State's only shot is to go for 60 and have a race to 60.
I mean, they've got to fucking...
And they've got to throw it through the air all day long.
They have to establish the run game right out of the bat to be able to do that. Because otherwise, that pass rush from Georgia is going to butt-fuck them right into the ground.
I agree.
Especially with C.J. Stroud's inability to come out quick in a game. I don't know what that is. Maybe they need to give him some fucking crystal meth. There's a nationwide Adderall shortage right now. Maybe that's his fucking problem.
Maybe.
He comes out lackadaisical as fuck in the first like two series of every single game.
Every game. And you can't afford that against Georgia. No. So I think that's the only shot for Ohio State. And then you need one of those off games from Stetson Bennett. Every two games he's off. And I guess you're hoping for that in this one. This spread, though, still boggles my mind at -6.5.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I thought this would have been a lot higher.
This is going to be tough. Like, the two most similar teams Georgia played to this, maybe I guess you could say three most, but definitely two most, are Tennessee and Oregon.
Yeah.
But Tennessee doesn't have any running backs, and they only had one receiver. I don't know who the other receiver is for Tennessee.
When you're in that Heupel system, all your receivers are dudes.
So Ohio State is loaded on that end. Again, Egbuka's over 1,000 yards. The third string guy who's playing for Njigma is that Julian Fleming, the number one receiver out of Texas. He's fucking great as well, so that's fine.
Yeah, you have nothing but studs.
Nothing but studs there. The tight end was hurt wearing some fucking Terminator arm brace in the Michigan game. It appears as if he'll be healthy.
We get caught in recency bias and we're like, oh, Ryan Day is just such a miserable coach, fire him, fuck him. And it's just like, no, he's gonna have an entire month to game plan. I think you guys are gonna be fine. I think Ohio State's gonna cover.
I don't know. It's 6.5 though, and so I'll wait until this actually drops. If this gets to 7.5, I feel the same way about this Michigan TCU game. If it got to 7.5, I think it could be a one-score game. I do not feel comfortable taking this at 6.5 right now. Mm. So I would buy up a point on this. One thing I'm definitely going to do, though, is tease both of these and take Georgia -13.5 and then take TCU +14.5. That would mean Michigan would have to win by two touchdowns in that game and Georgia two touchdowns in this game. And I think that feels like the safest play for me for these two games. But... I would wait till the game itself. I would wait till the day of and see what the actual injury report is for this.
There's no rush to bet any of these games, to be honest,
no.
Especially because some key players are fucking questionable.
Yeah. So I would wait on both of these. Even with the Johnson injury, if he doesn't play for TCU, Michigan rolls them.
He's going to play.
He's going to play,
But is he going to be effective? And right. That's the same thing with Mayan Williams for Ohio State. Like, he said literally word for word the same thing, and maybe they're fucking homies or something. But, like, if something happens and they end up out and they're not great, I think both of these spreads get fucking trounced. So we'll see. This will be a day of decision, and then obviously in my fucking dirty basement somewhere, I'll be throwing a shit ton of money on the money line that's in a dark corner of the world that only I know about. But publicly, I'm going to take the teaser here on both of these teams, and I think that feels pretty safe in this game, or in both of these games, actually. But if Stroud comes out, like you said, and he's off the first two series, Georgia could win this game by 28 points.
Yeah, I don't think – I mean – Stetson Bennett, say what you want about him, but he's a fucking winner.
And he's 25. What's he nervous about?
Well, he just won.
I know, but he's also 25 years old. Like, you don't have...
Same age as Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, you don't have the same pressure as a 19, 20-year-old kid who's playing to be, you know, first pick in the draft, like a lot of these kids are here. And it's not the same pressure at 25 years old. What do you care? Because Stetson Bennett, I think, is a lifelong backup, right? He will never start for an NFL team.
Probably not.
He won't be in the NFL.
I think he might get drafted for being a winner and just being a career
backup.
Dude,
Ken fucking Dorsey got drafted. Yes. I know he never made an active roster, I don't think, with the 49ers, but he got drafted.
And he played forever.
Yeah. The game done changed, all right? There's so many quarterbacks in these Elite 11 camps. And, I mean, if you're 20, he's 25 already, so he's old as fuck. He has no chance.
Winkie got drafted when he was 28 years old. Yeah. I look at it like take a Baker Mayfield, for example. Baker Mayfield will never in his heart want to be a backup quarterback. Therefore, I think he probably goes to the NFL Network or something after this, whereas Stetson Bennett would love it. He would love to be a 10-year backup in the NFL.
Yeah, make $40 million.
Yes, what a dream life that would be. And by the way, him being 25, I'm only making fun of it because I'm jealous. Like, holy shit, if you could still be in college trying to go for back-to-back national championships at 25 years old, as far as pussy goes, your life never gets better than that.
I mean, there's better places than Georgia to have that happen, I guess, but
not many.
Not many. Athens, I mean,
Athens is the best college town I have ever been
it's
to.
It's one of it's up there for me.
It's not the best college town for puss, though, in my opinion.
I was impressed as well.
As far as the SEC, it's up there.
I'm from Georgia, man, and I was impressed.
The SEC is not exactly swimming in puss, you know what I mean? Like, Tennessee is pretty legit.
It depends what you
It depends on the school. For
Tennessee, Florida, LSU, Ole Miss.
Well, the biggest one.
Georgia, Alabama.
The biggest one's Bama because Bama's become a national school. Yeah. Like, I don't know if you guys remember on TikTok at the beginning of the school year or whatever, but those Bama Rush TikToks, nothing but fucking smokes for the most part. And none of them were from Alabama.
They're all from the Northeast.
It was actually hilarious when they would show someone from Alabama. It was just like this fucking troll.
Bridge troll, yeah.
Well, we had the D'Amelio family on the show, and they said the daughter was going there, hot as fuck. She obviously backed out because she's making $18 million a year off TikTok, but whatever. And so just to clarify, because again, I really don't follow teams outside the top 10 unless I'm gambling on them. This Cotton Bowl is a New Year's Six Bowl, correct? Okay. Yeah. So because I'm trying to figure out the spread here and why. This is Tulane against USC, and USC is only favored by 2.5.
Caleb Williams.
Yeah, Caleb Williams isn't playing.
No, I know he's out, but still the backup for USC.
This is the first year of that program.
It is.
So they don't have a deep bench of recruits like that. Plus, most of their fucking players came through the portal, anyways.
They did. Who is the backup quarterback though for USC?
Who the fuck knows?
Well, I mean, this is going to decide who I'm.
It's probably bet on whomever the backup quarterback was last year.
Tulane's pretty solid.
Miller Moss, maybe.
I don't know who that is.
He's 12 for 14 this year. Oh man, he looks like a date rapist. He just got that look.
That's the best you can hope for out of your backup quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? It could be so much worse.
All right, let's see the starting QB is for this game.
He's a redshirt freshman. Yeah, this is probably going to be your starter, Miller Moss. Okay. I mean, this in the game in the games he's played, he's looked pretty good apparently. But
he's a 4-star from California.
I mean, he played against all of his stats are against Colorado and Rice.
Is anybody else sitting out for USC in this game?
Probably one or two guys. I don't know.
All right, and I'm gonna look at 2.5. I still think the B team for USC beats Tulane in this game. I'm gonna take USC in this game.
The biggest game in Tulane football history.
Tickets are $8.
Are Dye and Jones both playing at running back? Because
no, Dye is out. He had a season. He had a knee injury. But his backup was pretty good.
I don't know.
His backup was pretty good, and that's
Tulane plus 9.5 game.
Are you gonna drive this up to 9.5?
Yeah.
I'm just going to say because of just the sheer vastness of the program, I'm going to go USC minus 2.5 in this game. This is in Jerry World.
Mm-hmm.
Tickets are fucking $8 at Jerry World?
Massive. Massive stadium.
Yeah, there's 65,000 people in that motherfucker.
Bigger.
Massive stadium and two schools with tiny fan bases.
Right. You can fit $100,000 in Jerry World. I know USC's 100,000 people in Jerry World.
Yeah, I know USC is a national brand, but that's a private school.
$51 for lowers, man. Holy shit. Yeah, look, if you're in the area and you want to go see this game, $51 is not bad for lowers, bro. I mean, you'll never get into a Cowboys fucking Texans game for $51 in the lower levels.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Are there any national Tulane fans that didn't go to the school?
I don't even know how many people go to Tulane in general.
Louisiana is pretty close to
Tulane's
Dallas.
Tulane's a private.
Yeah, it's close.
Tulane's a private school, though.
It's tiny.
14,000
non-national brand. So
total
like,
enrollment.
No one's a T-shirt Tulane fan.
Mm. Yeah, I'm going to take USC in this one. You're going to drive this up to 9.5?
Yeah.
I'll take it by a field goal, just sheer pride
in this
one.
I just don't think USC gives a fuck about this game.
Probably not. And that's what makes all this so fucking difficult. But this is the day after, and the junkie in me will bet it, which is the only reason I'll watch this fucking game.
And as a reminder, tonight, Liberty Toledo in the fucking FAU stadium at FAU Stadium is the Boca Raton Bowl.
Oh, the mouth of the rat.
Yeah, it's right now it's Toledo minus 3.5 is the spread, but I took let's see, I believe I took Liberty at plus 4.5. Yeah, that's right.
Okay,
that's. I took that a while back.
So the one, if I'm going with heart here on this one, I'm going to take Mississippi State for Mike Leach. I don't think they lose that game for him. I think the defensive coordinator's taking over. The spread was 1.5 in that game.
What game are you talking about?
Mississippi State. It's not in a Big Six game, but they just announced that they were going to play. So there was some speculation that they would possibly miss the game because their coach died.
Who fucking cares? Play the goddamn game.
Look, they're playing the game. Right? They're playing the game, but
I'll
think they
win. Team.
Quest Bowl.
The what? Repeat that.
ReliaQuest. Is this the former Outback Bowl? Damn, we got rid of the Outback Bowl?
No, yeah. There's still an Outback Bowl, isn't there?
No, this is the Outback Bowl.
It's gone, dude.
That sucks.
It's gone. Fuck, because it was in Raymond James Stadium.
Well, yeah. So what are we going to do about the Bloomin' Onion situation?
I don't know.
I'm concerned about the status of Outback as a company now.
They used to give out Bloomin' Onion hats, little foam hats for the game, like cheese heads.
And coconut shrimp. So like whatever side wins, you would get that for free when you go to Outback.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
And then the other one, pure heart here. We'll talk about this tomorrow. We'll cock tease the NFL show. But Gardner Minshew is going to start for the Eagles. I'm all in. Money line. I'm money lining the fucking Eagles, dude, this weekend. And I think they fucking bash Dallas's soul into the ground and completely defeat all fucking chances of winning a playoff game in Dallas. And I love it. That game I will be watching front and center.
The biggest game next week might be Thursday, the Jags at the Jets. To be honest, because the Jags are on a roll. They can still get into the playoffs.
Trevor Lawrence is fun to watch, man. He looks like he did in college now. He's running the ball. He's taking off. He needs to fucking tuck it a little better.
Well, he
should have fumbled towards the end.
Yeah,
but,
he also needs at least one receiver.
Like yeah, but you can see it turn around. Dude, Peterson was always a good coach. I don't know why he got fired from Philadelphia. He won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I know.
Philly fans don't want to talk about that. Although your guy's still doing pretty well.
Sirianni's pretty good.
Yeah, he's really goddamn good. So, I mean, I guess it worked out in the end, but there's no mistake on what happened last year versus this year down in Jacksonville. It is clearly the coach.
I really think Jacksonville's going to take Quentin Johnston with their first pick.
Maybe. They need a one wide receiver. I think Kirk is a two.
I think they got the sixth, seventh, or eighth pick somewhere around there.
I hope Jaxon Smith-Njigba doesn't even get drafted. I hope it's a free agent.
I wouldn't
signing.
Take him until later in the second round. I don't care how talented he is.
Don't take him at all.
You got to show up and play.
Fuck that guy. Don't take him at all.
He's definitely
will.
Not going to be a lottery pick because then there you have to get a signing bonus.
Yeah, the Bears. Yeah. Justin Fields will talk him into it. You watch. I guarantee it. That's where my money lies on that one. But yeah, look, bet with us or against us on mybookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles your first deposit all the way up to $1,000. The NFL Pick'em show is on tomorrow. Amp for that one because I absolutely destroyed this weekend. And you're welcome for that. Got a ton of messages, and we won all of the goddamn things. So stay tuned for that tomorrow. Please go to iTunes, rate the show 5-star, and leave a quick review. Also, head on over to Spotify and just click a 5-star. That's all you got to do. Then you can walk right the fuck away there. For D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros College Football New Year's Six Pick'em. Yeah, that's what we're calling it.
Words.
Pretty soon it'll be over.
Words.
Pretty soon it'll be over. It'll be 12. It'll be 90 teams by the time we're fucking 80. Good night, everyone.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.